Jenkin, Luke Jenkins, director for Cinch Message Media, looking after UK and Europe. Thanks to Clwyd and White Hat for giving us the opportunity to be here today. And thanks to you all for taking the time out of your day to be here, particularly given the rain. Hopefully you find the talk interesting and you can all walk away with some tips and tricks that you can put into practice. And then worst case, I suppose you're not that far from Oxford Street if you do want to make an early start on the Christmas shopping afterwards. So we're here today, and obviously I know there'll be some speakers talking about AI and some quite futuristic things. We've gone for something a little bit more nostalgic with SMS, and obviously looking forward to take you through a bit more about who we are, what we do, and then how we play in the HubSpot ecosystem. As I mentioned, we are going to hopefully give you some nuggets that you can take away with you and put into practice. Sure, some of you are using SMS as part of your messaging communication already, and for some of you, it might be a new channel that you can consider as well. We're going to show you some applications and common use cases, and then when that's done really well, what you can hopefully expect to see in terms of results. So, Cinch Message Media, part of Cinch. We're Gartner leaders in the CPaaS and communication space. We're fortunate enough to have 70,000 customers globally, though I'd certainly class us as industry agnostic. We do work with a lot of enterprises, large banks, and household retail names, as well as governments, healthcare organizations. But actually, more than 50% of our customers are made up of SMBs and mid-market customers as well. And then because of that, what we found is we've always had a real focus on delivering really easy turnkey solutions to make it easy for customers to get going with their messaging and overcome some of those really common obstacles that you might face in terms of compliance or number provisioning, handling your opt-outs and unsubscribers as well. How we do it? So we do have a direct suite of products in the form of a web platform. Customers can plug in our API into any of their own systems or platforms. We have a messaging app for users that want to message on the go. And then if we look at the top right quadrant, obviously integrations, and that's where HubSpot slots in. We do have thousands of different integrations. Some of those will use integration platforms like Zapier that tend to be a bit more trigger and action based. And then there's close to 100 integrations or platforms that we're actually either integrated in with ourselves or where those different vendors have built us into their product. And then for a select few, HubSpot included, we have product teams where we've gone and built out specific functionality for that particular ecosystem or platform. And then why do we do it? Obviously to help our customers be really successful, to drive better engagement with their customers and staff, and to hopefully see an ROI on their spend with us. Not to sound too much like LinkedIn, but we'll just do another quick poll by show of hands. So to see who we've got in the room, who do we have on the operational side? Cool, a couple of you. Sales? Good stuff. What about customer experience or customer service? Holding. Oh, okay, good, a few. And then marketing? Hands down a winner, fantastic. I ask because we see almost an exact even split between those different business functions if you look at our HubSpot users within our customer base. And hopefully today we're going to talk you through some of the challenges and solutions that you might find, because I'm sure a lot of us will resonate with some of the challenges that we find in terms of too many tools to manage. It's getting harder and harder to actually get in contact with sales prospects and convert them. And then obviously on the marketing side, I have to say, I don't envy you. There's a lot of you in the room, but budgets don't seem to be going up. So it's becoming harder and harder and more of a challenge to conduct really effective marketing campaigns and be able to measure the engagement, importantly, on the back of that. I do only have 40 minutes today, so I might not be able to solve all of the business challenges in the one hit, but we are going to give away some prizes. So for two winners today, we are going to give a full month of access to our SMS service, including HubSpot integration, and access to our SMS concierge service as well. So If you want to, well, we are going to give it to you anyway, so hopefully you want to take us up on it. But that's going to include everything from getting you set up, helping with your sender IDs, template creation, and if you want to integrate SMS into your workflows as well. And then just as an extra kicker, and sometimes you have to read the room as well, we are also going to give away a bottle of Moët champagne to top prize as well. So, not like most presentations do, but we'd love you for all to get out your phones if you'd like to participate, and we'll talk you through how to enter. So in just a second, we'd like you to text into our short code of 600-30. What we're after is message must start with hug. If you can leave a space, then your name and a space. And for the year, we'd like you to give your best guess into when the world's first text message was sent. This may or may not help you. It was sent in the UK, and it said Merry Christmas.
Was that the phone
that sent? Yep, that was the very one. You'd be pleased, actually, Fluid. That was made with AI. Fantastic. So I've got Dominic from our team going to be looking through the answers and results. So as soon as we're back after the break, we'll announce the two winners. So obviously closest two, and then if it's a tie, the first correct guess. So by now we know that we're integrated into HubSpot. It is a native integration, which means that as a HubSpot user, I can do all of my messaging from HubSpot. And HubSpot is our most popular integration or ecosystem, both in terms of number of overall customers, monthly new signups, and then overall messaging volumes. So we've been in the ecosystem for a few years now, and what we've observed is that actually it's a bit of a journey that a lot of users will go through. And I definitely don't say that because HubSpot is difficult to get to grips with. In fact, I'd actually argue that HubSpot is probably the easiest platform I've seen in terms of getting up and running and shortening that time to value. But what we've typically seen is a lot of people have to make that leap of faith, I suppose, and going from managing all of these disparate tools and systems or repositories where they've got data stored, and then it's going to be actually making the decision to go ahead and invest in a business CRM. Once they've made that decision, this is the piece that obviously can take a lot of time and work, and data is so important. So the huge benefit is that all data can now start to reside in the one place and gives us that single source of truth, but really important that data is entered in a consistent manner. Okay, and you know we're updating properties in a scalable, consistent way. And then when and only when we've done that, that allows a business to go and effectively start reporting on that as well. And then that can have a huge impact in forming business decisions, working into your business processes. Equally, there's huge opportunity, but this is also normally the stage where it's going to arise and surface certain questions, right? And where sometimes it can certainly point to perhaps weak spots in some of our processes. And so what we quite often see is at that point, either internally through super users or admins, sometimes through contractors, or even for us working with a lot of SMBs and mid-market type customers, there's certainly an appetite for reaching out and getting expertise from HubSpot partners that work within that ecosystem. So let's say we've got all of our data in great shape, we've had expertise, and we're feeling pretty good about the health of our HubSpot setup. The last stage that I wanted to mention was what I've classed the optimization stage. And that could be leveraging tools that exist from HubSpot, either in terms of new modules or hubs, or it could be leveraging the app marketplace that exists, and that's where we also sit as well. So I'd say from this slide, a couple of main takeaways that I'd like to give you. One, from what we've observed, and hopefully some of the other partners, and I'm sure as users, you could probably relate that it is a bit of a journey. So don't be worried by the fact that it may be a bit of a stepping stone or a journey to get there. Second of all, data, and this is probably the most important step. Really hard to actually go and make changes and create really effective processes if you don't have your data in good shape. And then the third takeaway for me would be when you're at that stage and you realize either there's challenges or there's outcomes related to the business where you want to get there a little bit faster or do things more effectively, then reach out to some of the different forums and communities, HubSpot partners, HubSpot customer success managers or account managers, or even the app marketplace, because there's a lot of really good resources there in terms of customer reviews. Look at what customers are saying, and I'd encourage you to see what solutions are out there to help get you there that little bit faster. So at the risk of having too many puns on the one slide, I did just want to call out the elephant in the room in the sense that some of you may have been sat there thinking, Luke, it sounds really good, and yes, we like the fact that integration's built into HubSpot, but HubSpot have their own SMS channel now, right? Which is exactly true. At the moment, quite fortunate in the sense that I haven't had to think too much about it because it's been focused on the North American region. I'm sure that will scale and develop over time. And without going into the integration in too much detail, I'm just going to put up a couple of highlights in terms of the functionality that exists with inside HubSpot and how we see a lot of our users getting to grips with that. If you wanted to message your customers on a one-to-one basis from the contact record, you can certainly do that. And then if you wanted to think of sending out a broadcast or more of a mass communication in the form of a marketing campaign or something like that, that's also possible to include SMS as part of your workflows. You just hit the plus, send SMS, and away we go. And regardless of how you want to go about sending, all of that activity would be saved on the contact timeline as well. Obviously, if you've got any questions about this later on, feel free to let me know. So hopefully with me so far, and we like the fact that it's inside HubSpot, right? But why would I consider SMS in the first place? By the way, SMS and text messaging, exactly the same thing. So I may well flick between the two of them. SMS is truly ubiquitous, right? Everyone here probably has a mobile phone with them, and everybody has the ability to send and receive messages. It also helps us navigate away from the app problem, because a lot of businesses have tried to go and create apps, but then you have to get users to install them to the phone. Not everyone will have notifications enabled, whereas SMS is still one of the only pure channels in terms of everyone being able to see that message that's delivered. It's also asynchronous, so if we want to send out a communication to a customer, they've got the ability to read that at their leisure and respond when they want to as well. We actually implemented SMS as part of our customer success and onboarding program, and the results were staggering compared to where we were trying to chase down people via phone calls. Bearing in mind, these weren't even leads. These were customers that had actually signed up and said, we want to pay for your service. And we always had a struggle actually trying to get them on the phone and to commit to an onboarding call, even if that was 20 or 30 minutes. So flipping that and making SMS as the primary channel coupled with email, we've had a much, much better uptake in terms of those onboarding calls going ahead. And it's also had a really positive impact on our churn result as well. In terms of top line, we've got some engagement stats. This is an industry-wide one, the first one up here in terms of the open rate, pretty unparalleled at 98%. If we take that one step further, if we look at the engagement and the click-through that we see from SMS, it's generally about 8 times what we would see versus email. In terms of the immediacy of SMS, 90% of messages are received or read, sorry, in the first 3 minutes. And as you can see, nearly 80% of those respondents are coming back in 5 minutes as well. So great in terms of driving engagement, but ultimately it's how the customer feels about it, right? And customers love SMS as a channel. We've got a couple of stats here. And I think one of the things I'd like to mention is, even though we're talking about some of the improvements in engagement versus email, SMS is certainly not going to be replacing email, but where we see it working best is where it's used in parallel as part of a multi-channel approach. And ultimately, at the end of the day, it's about giving your customers the ability to communicate with you on their channel of preference and at a time of their choosing as well. So quite nice that we've got a variety of roles in the house with us today, even though we're slightly heavily weighted towards marketing. We see some really creative applications for SMS, and so the list of use cases is almost infinite. So we've put up a couple of the main ones that we see here. Starting at the top left, and again, relevant for a lot of you, marketing campaigns are really widely utilized. As you know, it's harder and harder to actually vie for attention Everyone is used to getting a huge number of emails in their inbox now. A lot of emails can go to spam. So again, thinking about how you can leverage SMS and use that in combination with email works really well. And obviously at the end of it, it's not just about getting the delivery, but then being able to manage the or measure the engagement that we see on the back of that. In terms of new business inquiries, once we've done the hard work from marketing, we've got interested parties contacting our business. It's amazing how many people don't actually acknowledge those or follow up with those leads straight away, right? So even doing something like setting up an acknowledgement SMS when somebody submits a form or a contact us inquiry creates a much better customer experience and greases the wheels for the sales team to go and follow up. I know we did have a few people that were in a customer or customer experience role here. If you think about surveys, my perception is if you give somebody a really, really long survey to complete, it's quite unlikely that they're going to complete that. So if we want to leverage some kind of online form or survey capture, make it short, make sure that it's going to get maximum impact and it's the really key questions that we want answered, and using SMS to maybe send a link to that survey, because we know when they look at their phone, it's generally when they're free and they've got a few minutes as a window. So send that through to them, make it easy for them to complete the survey. And if we want to get even faster feedback, even just using a simple text response, score us, you know, between 1 and 10, how you found your interaction with us today. Out of 10, if somebody scores us a 1, 2, or 3, that's hopefully going to raise some red flags, and perhaps we want to either flag that or set off processes to go and deal with that. If they score us an 8, 9, or 10, that's great news. We want to champion that. We want to highlight those customers because that we know they're really happy. There's great upsell potential, and hopefully we can turn that into perhaps a customer case study or something along those lines. If you're anything like me, you survive by getting reminders, whether that's from your better half or from a text. So regardless of if it's for an MOT, a dentist appointment, a doctor's appointment, reminders are really key. Quite a few different applications that fall into the reminders bucket. If you're in retail or e-commerce, we find that abandoned cart reminders work really well. Sending a link to that checkout and sometimes combining that with an offer code or coupon, hopefully as an extra carrot to go and get them to purchase and make that transaction. And then similarly, if we're trying to drive somebody to actually attend an appointment, that could be physical, or I'm sure everyone here has a fair number of Zoom or Teams appointments. A couple of people were in sales at the back, so rather than having to worry whether the prospect's actually going to turn up, sending out a reminder generally 24 hours prior, and I'd suggest in this world where everyone is inundated with meetings, if you can send it out morning of, we generally see about a 40 to 50% improvement in the no-show rate. So just out of interest, actually, if you could just raise your hands one last time, I promise, in terms of who is using SMS in some capacity at the moment? Interesting. Good on you. And then, well, hopefully, then don't worry about frantically scribbling down notes, because as Clu had mentioned, we will send out the deck. And if you want to refer back to this, you can. But just a few, hopefully, nuggets that you could take away with you and to maybe give some food for thought if it is a channel that you've thought about implementing into your communication strategy. So we'll go round the clock. In terms of timing, afternoons tend to deliver the best results that we see. That's both in terms of the click-through and engagement, and also in terms of purchases made. Social sending is something that we would strongly recommend. So if you are thinking about implementing SMS, putting in some safety guards to make sure that we're only messaging with inside business hours, keep it sociable, and stops irritating those customers that are at the moment opted in. Depending on your use case, you've got the option to either send out a broadcast all at once, so perhaps something like a notification or more of a generalist marketing campaign, that will work absolutely fine. But if we think that actually the message we're sending might invite quite a high number of people to take action and to call us up, normally like to give the example of chasing for overdue payments or invoices. If we send out a message chasing people and then we have 1,000 people picking up the phone to come and speak to our collections team, they're probably not going to be too happy. So being able to drip feed those messages over a period of time can be really helpful. And then the last point on timing and frequency, think about how often you're sending your message. At the moment, SMS is a great channel because it's got fantastic cut through, and it doesn't have the same connotations of spam as some other channels, and so we'd strongly encourage keeping it that way. And so it might be a bit different if we're talking about use cases such as deliveries or it's a customer service type request, but if it's anything related to a new product or service in particular, we'd strongly recommend keeping that to perhaps two or three messages in a given month. Next up, in terms of how we can go about measuring the success of SMS, I hope there's a lot of new potential SMS users out there in the room today. So if you are going to be evaluating providers, we'd strongly suggest working with a provider that can enable delivery receipts for you. That means it's quite often a legitimate route that's being used. Some will charge for it, some won't. We don't, by the way. But delivery receipts are the best way to know, well, actually, how many of my messages that I'm sending out got through? And then I'd suggest that if you're not looking at around 90% or upwards, it might be worthwhile diving into the data to take a closer look to see how relevant that data is. Then when we send out those messages, we don't get read receipts in exactly the same way that you might do on some other channels. So by combining delivery receipts and then including short trackable links, that's a really good way of measuring the effectiveness and the engagement of those messages that you're sending across. And we can help give the analytics on not just the click-through, but also at a unique recipient level as well. Also, looking at the content, so not just including links, but thinking about what we actually include in that body of the message. We should certainly be telling our recipients who we are, either in terms of the sender ID that appears on somebody's phone, or if you want to send from a number, making sure that we talk about our business name in the message itself. Otherwise, it's likely that message will be deleted very, very quickly. Thinking about cost in particular, and also the readability on a phone, it is designed as a short message service after all. So if you can stick to 160 characters or less, and then that's only going to cost you a single credit. So good, certainly in terms of monitoring your spend. To take that one step further, we do see, particularly in a lot of modern marketing and branding, emojis are used quite heavily now. And they certainly play their part, but I would just challenge you to think how much value that winky face or the smiley face is offering, because that can take a message from a regular message to a Unicode message, and then you only get 70 characters as part of that single part. So if it's very relatable to your brand, absolutely include it. Otherwise, we'd recommend sticking to plain text. It's amazing how many messages we see where personalized or merge fields still aren't actually incorporated. So a really easy example would be hi, first name. It makes that message much warmer and personal to the end recipient. But then to take that one step further, leverage some of the tokens that are available to you inside HubSpot. If they've dealt with a particular advisor, use their name. If we're talking about a particular case, give that reference number so it's much easier for the customer if they need to access that information. And then the final one on this, to ensure compliance, as a rule of thumb, always include an opt-out and give people a way to unsubscribe. Doesn't matter if you're sending from a business name or a number, you can do that either via a keyword, such as stop to opt out, or by including a link. But make it easy and make sure that you stay the right side of compliance. And final bit on this slide, in terms of the sender ID, so again, what actually appears to the recipient on the handset when they get that message from us? Every country will be a little bit different, so we'll focus on the UK for now. So we do support both business name, which is called an alpha tag here, or a number. So you can send from both options. Alpha tags are just one way, i.e. allowing the outbound message to go out, but there's no reply facility. Or numbers would be used for more two-way conversational messaging. So both are supported here. And what we generally say is think about the call to action that you'd like your message to have. If it's more of a notification or where we want a customer to go ahead and click a link or click into the message and perhaps call our customer service number, sending from a business name is fantastic for reliability and trust. But again, if we want to get that text response back, we're going to want to use a number. So hopefully a couple of tips that you can take away with you and put into practice. When it's done well, just going to finish off by sharing a couple of examples. So Vinomofo, one of Australia's largest online wine merchants, They made the move to HubSpot and actually implemented us at a similar time. They use HubSpot for dialing and email, and then they used us for the SMS piece. And really important to them was the personalization that they were doing as part of their marketing campaigns. They realized that if they had somebody that had ordered 20 bottles of Merlot, sending them offers for a case of Sauvignon Blanc probably wasn't going to hit the mark. So they needed to be really sure in terms of the segmentation of their customers, what products were going to resonate in the best way. And again, they wanted to be making sure they were using a combination of all of those channels and start to build up some awareness of the different patterns and behaviors and which of the channels that their customers like to be contacted over. Obviously, a great ROI. You can go and see the case study on the HubSpot webpage as well. But then the bit that I really liked was the 50% reduction in churn. And what this actually meant to them was, whereas before, many of their customers were only going and making a single purchase, by implementing more personalized marketing, what they saw was that actually more and more customers were coming back and making repeat purchases. I do have another successful customer as well. I don't have a slide for it. Their marketing manager only came back to me yesterday. We do work with any customer, as I mentioned earlier. They don't have to only be in the alcohol or wine business, but I do work with Rare Wine Investments in Denmark. So they came to us, they were starting in Denmark, and then that's now scaled to Sweden and Italy, where they work, as you'd imagine, with wine investors. Unfortunately, I can't talk about the actual numbers in monetary terms that they saw, but they actually saw full spend this calendar year. They've had a 200,000% ROI on their marketing campaigns, and they switched exclusively from email to SMS. So a little bit different where they made that switch. Obviously, they are selling products that you probably wouldn't find in your local aisle at Tesco. So there may be some expensive bottles in there, but still, their main approach was, again, very personalized offers, realizing what their investors like. And really simply, they send out an offer with a particular bottle or case of wine. And all an investor has to do when they see that text message is just reply back, take, and then they'll secure that particular order for them. So I can't promise you everyone would get an ROI quite like that, but hopefully there's enough enough encouragement in terms of using SMS for you. We'll dive into some Q&A in just a second. Just in case of next steps, you are going to get the slide deck, but as I mentioned, we do exist in the app marketplace if you want to find us in there, or you can visit our website if you want to jump on there, and then we've got a lot of information about the different integrations and messaging services that we have. So hopefully I wasn't too far over time, but happy to pause there and take any questions. Two in a row. We'll go right at the back.
For B2B customers, what's your sort of general advice about GDPR compliance around texting?
Yeah, great question. So question there was around GDPR compliance, particularly for B2B customers. Obviously comes up an awful lot in this environment that we're in now. So in line with a lot of general GDPR guidance, I suppose, and the fact that there has to be that legitimate reason to go and contact a customer in the first place, even if it's a business, right? But you should always be having an opt-out or a way for that end recipient to opt out of communications, unless they've explicitly filled in a form where they've taken an action where they're actually saying, yes, I agree, and yes, I agree to be contacted via SMS as a standalone channel. So I think that's the main bit for me. You should have that breakdown and understand the preference by channel. And then once we've got that, again, make it really easy for an end customer to opt out. And so that can, again, be keyword or a link. But really, because it's not just about the content that you're sending, it's the mechanism for them to be able to go and opt out and do that easily. Hopefully that answered the question. Cool. I think we had another one down the left-hand side in the white shirt.
Yeah, I was going to say the difference between like messaging in HubSpot natively and using your integration.
Yeah, so good question there around the differences or similarities between our integration and HubSpot's SMS solution that's been launched. At the moment, it's quite a nice, easy one because it is just focused on North America. When that does scale out to other regions, HubSpot SMS exists in the marketing module as a dropdown. It doesn't include the ability for one-to-one messaging. So I'd say that at the moment, there's quite a lot of differences, both in terms of how you can go about messaging, certainly in terms of one-to-one messaging, and then integration with the workflows. That's a big difference, because we do exist in contact, deal, and ticket-based workflows now. I'm sure that will develop over time, but they're probably the main differences that come to light at the moment. Good question. Was there another one at the back somewhere? Is that a question, or am I at time?
maybe both. HubSpot levels in terms of professional enterprise, does it require a particular level to use the integration?
Or no, they do have to be paid. Sorry. Question there was around the different levels of HubSpot. So do they need to be on a particular level to leverage our integration? And the answer is no. It does have to be a paid version, I would say, so not compatible with free, but any of the paid versions of HubSpot we'd be able to integrate with. Any others before I get kicked off? Fantastic. Yeah, feel free to come and grab me later on if you've got any other questions. Otherwise, thank you very much.